with this man.
Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
G'day, Richo. How are you this afternoon, mate?
All the better for talking to you.
Not blown away, mate.
Sad day. I've just been at the funeral of John Sharp, who's, of course, chairman of the AOL and a great fella.
Yes, he was.
And that never makes you feel too good.
No, it doesn't. But it was a good turnout for his funeral.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty big. So I think he was sent off in style, which is something he deserved.
He did, and it's a nice way to be sent off. I've got an email here, which I thought I would share with you. It came from one of our listeners. It said, "Hi, Brent, I'd like you to, if possible, commend Richo on the topics debated on the Richo and Jones show this week. The program related to the French submarine debacle, the rise of China in our region with a strong inference on Papua New Guinea's debt, which China wants to pay off, and new economical forms of nuclear energy available now and in the future. The show is extremely informative, and I urge people to have a look and a listen." There you go. That's from a listener.
Well, you know, that's our job, I reckon, is to help educate people and to get more knowledge ourselves. Now, it's all about knowledge. They say knowledge is power, and you just got to empower people. Give them enough information so they can make the right choices when they're electing governments or going to referenda or whatever.
Your guests on submarines, gee whiz, he was good, wasn't he? He was terrific. He knew.
He's spectacular, Gary Johnson. He really is. And, you know, and you think he's Jayco. He's not specifically a submarine man, but it's his great passion in life. And I doubt if there's anyone in the Australian bureaucracy who knows as much about him as he does.
So why aren't they speaking to people like him when they make these decisions to buy these submarines? As he's pointed out on Wednesday night, was it $6 million to design or was it $6 billion to design?
$6 billion
just to design the damn things. And the other thing that I took away from that was, correct me if I'm wrong here, Richard, but I think if we end up with these French diesel-powered submarines, we will have the only diesel-powered submarines in the world. No one else wants diesel-powered submarines.
These things are going to be in a museum soon. I mean, it's absurd to be running around with these conventional-powered submarines. They are nowhere near as good as the nuclear-powered ones. Nowhere near it. And so what we are doing is condemning ourselves to getting the inferior product. And I just find that really dumb.
Have we gone too far? Has the government gone too far down the track here to pull up stumps and say, hang on a tick, we made a mistake?
Well, I wish they would. Because it's clear that the capability of these submarines that we're going to get is just not adequate for the task. It's obvious. Now, why would you spend the billions that this is going to take up, and it's going to be an awful lot of them, why would you spend it on a product you know to be inferior before you get it?
Mm.
I mean, I just find this whole thing crazy. What you would normally do if you're in a business, you'd scope out what you need and then go looking for that. You don't just scope out what's on the market that might fit your needs. If you actually go, you say to yourself, what exactly do I want? These are the things I need. And then you make sure that the product you're buying fulfills those needs. Now, we're just not doing that. And this is a lousy way to spend billions of dollars.
In your article today, you make a point, and look, I paraphrase you, but basically what you're saying is too many times people that have no experience in this field are placed in these portfolios.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not critical of that, because that's how it has to be.
Right.
Right? There's no, you aren't going to get a maritime engineer suddenly bobbing up in the parliament. So, no, I don't say that. What I say is that we've got really competent people. We give them a job. But the trouble is, no matter how competent they are, in the end, it comes down to accepting the recommendations of the public service. Now, our public service is of the highest possible standard. I'm not one of those who runs around bagging them because that's the easy thing to do. You know, you can always get people to applaud you if you bag the bureaucracy. I'm not worried about applause so much. I'm worried about performance. And our Australian bureaucracy is very good. The Defence Department's been very good. And so, by and large, if you look at the history of our big defence purchases, they've all worked out pretty well. Well, you know, where are the flops? You know, like, you can only go on people's record, Brenton. If the record's good, and our defence bureaucrats, I think, have an excellent record, well, then I'll go with them. I just wish I could understand it along the way.
You refer to Jim Molan. I mean, there's a bloke that really should be playing some form of role in government, but he's not. He's been put up on the shelf.
Yeah, well, the Libs have dumped him, basically.
Isn't that stupid?
Because he's not left-wing enough in New South Wales.
Yeah.
Well, he's not left-wing enough for Sodius and his crowd, so he's been dumped. And I think that's sad because he's formidable. You know when you listen to him that he's no dope, that he speaks forcefully from that basis of great knowledge on his subject. And why the hell they'd want to push him aside for some of the people they have, I just beggars the imagination.
It does, doesn't it? It does. Earlier this week, the stock market was reported, there were headlines all over the place, that we'd lost in Australia, I think it was at one stage, $86 billion on Tuesday or Wednesday being wiped off the stock market. This all obviously comes as a result of the US-China trade war. Josh Frydenberg was out and about early. There was an article, I think it was on Wednesday's Australian, and he said to... he's urged Australians not to overreact to the turmoil on world markets as he moved to smooth concerns, says, with the US-China trade war, which is, I suppose, a contradiction of what his predecessor, Peter Costello, warned the previous day. And Peter Costello came out and warned that the market gyrations could hurt superannuation savings if tensions between Washington and Beijing continue. Gee whiz, this is just a complete mess between China and the United States, isn't it?
It is, but somebody's got to blink soon. I mean, they can't just go on the way they are because each side's hurting each other. There's no doubt both sides are suffering. So it's really at the stage now where they've just got to find some sort of common ground. I mean, but then again, I mean, how would you like to be dealing with Trump? Seriously. God, they whinge about the Chinese. I reckon dealing with Trump would be incredibly difficult because he changes his mind so often that you wouldn't know where you stood in the negotiations. And I wish we could get one thing out of Trump, and that is consistency. But you don't get it with this bloke. He's just so bloody erratic.
That's one of the big things that all leaders say. I mean, if you're going to be a good leader with your team, one of the things that teams want from their leader, be it in a small organisation, be it in a large organisation, be it in a presidential role, is they want continuity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's got to happen, but it's just not obvious to Trump.
Yeah.
That's the difficulty. And, you know, he's... he's got his base, I think we'd have to wait and see how he goes in the second election. But if the Democrats can't come up with somebody, because Biden won't beat him, if they can't come up with someone, then we're stuck with this bloke for years. And this erratic the way he conducts policy, be it foreign policy or even domestic economic policy, I think it just makes for a very, very much more difficult world because the United States is such a big part of that world.
Do you think that Andrew Hastie helped yesterday when he compared China's growing global ambition and militarisation to the rise of Nazi Germany?
No, I think he was over the top, but I think Hastie's very far right, and so he's always over the top. I ignore those sort of people. We're led by Morrison and Frydenberg. They're sensible people, right? I mean, I don't vote Liberal, but I'm glad that if we're going to have a Liberal government, we've got sensible, smart people like them running it. But I wouldn't include Hastie in that group.
Okay. Just before I let you go, Paul Keating was criticised. Well, Paul Keating criticised the tax policy that Labor took to the May federal election. I think this was on a 7:30 report interview, and he had a crack at the policies. He said that the party had failed to understand the middle class economy created during the Hawke Keating years. There's been a lot of talk that he should have said this prior to the election rather than after the election.
No, he couldn't have said it prior to the election or during the election, because to do so would badly torpedo Labor's hopes. And Keating's a Labor person, he doesn't want to do that, because he knows that on a whole range of things, Labor would have been better than the Liberals, so he's not going to do that. I'm not going to be critical of Paul Keating on this. I think he's entitled to state those views. And anyone who thought our tax policies of the last election were any good is an idiot anyway. They were shocking. I mean, how's he going in telling everyone he's going to get two new taxes and we're going to win an election? I mean, it was just so dumb that I just can't believe that we ever were stupid enough to do it. So good luck to Keating if he's bagging that. I agree with you.
All right, mate. I'll let you go. Thank you so much for your time.